This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
On the doorstep of tax history. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, December 20th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Senate has passed tax reform, paving the way for President Trump's signature. It first needs another approval vote from the House after a procedural glitch.
At least 12 people are dead after a tour bus flipped in Mexico. It was taking cruise ship passengers to see Mayan ruins.
Investigators probe if the driver of the Amtrak train that derailed in Washington State was distracted.
And the unusual lengths some car makers are going to in order to get you to replace your Takata airbag.
It's amazing. People don't repair their cars, so 30% of cars overall are on the roads without repair. So this is already a challenge for Honda. On top of that, this is the biggest recall ever. So they're trying different ways to get people to get their cars repaired.
Wall Street Journal reporter Adrian Roberts on Honda canvassing neighborhoods to get car owners to tackle airbag recalls. Her report in about 20 minutes. Congress is just a procedural vote away now from passing a $1.5 trillion tax cut. The Senate passed the measure along party lines just after midnight this morning, 51-48. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Stock market is up. Optimism is high. Coupled with this tax reform, America is ready to start performing as it should have for a number of years.
Yesterday it passed the House, but a glitch because of Senate rules has forced a revote in the House today. It then goes to President Trump for his signature and becomes law. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer remains opposed, even though Democrats did not propose a plan of their own.
The data reveals what the Republican tax plan truly is, a tax scam that will rob middle-class families to pay for corporate tax breaks and giveaways to the wealthy.
The Republican plan offers deep tax cuts for businesses and lower rates for many individuals. Corporate shareholders, business owners, and most households will win. Losers might include some households living where state and local taxes are high. Many workers will see bigger paychecks from reduced tax withholding by February. Republicans have some work to do in selling their tax cuts and jobs program to the American people. A new survey by the Wall Street Journal and NBC News finds few people believe it will provide relief for middle-class families. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
More than two-thirds of respondents said the law was designed mostly to help corporations and the wealthy. Also, 17% expect their family to pay less in taxes, while 32% say they would pay more. Overall, 41% of Americans in the survey said the tax plan was a bad idea, up from 35% in October. Fewer than one-quarter of people said the bill was a good idea. Republican lawmakers say the tax bill will become more popular once the tax cuts begin to take effect in February. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Also, many Americans gave Mr. Trump credit for the nation's strong economy, with 40% saying he has made the economy better. The stock market is at all-time highs. Unemployment is extremely low. Well, presuming tax reform becomes law in the next 48 hours or so, how soon will people feel the impact once President Trump signs it? Like the tax code itself? The answer is complicated. To help, here's Herb Jackson covering tax reform for USA Today on Capitol Hill. Herb, how soon?
Well, if you're working and you get wages and you have taxes withheld from your paycheck, you may see a benefit as early as March. The IRS has to develop new withholding tables, and then your company has to implement them. But there could be a glitch because the way they know how much to withhold for each taxpayer is based on not only your salary, but also how many kids you have and whether you're married and things like that. And you filled out that information on a form called a W-4 when you started at your company. And if your W-4 needs to be changed, then every employer is going to have to get a new form from every employee and get them to sign it, which could take time. We talked to the ADP, which is the largest payroll processor in the country, and they said they're trying to see if they can work something out with the IRS that doesn't make that paperwork thing get in the way. But you might see a larger paycheck as early as March if they can work out those details.
What about on the medical expense front?
Well, medical expenses, actually, you got a tax cut at the beginning of this year if you have significant medical expenses, I should say. Right now, the law is that you can deduct the amount that exceeds 10% of your income. They're dropping that amount to 7.5% of your income. So basically, more people will be able to get the deduction. And that's retroactive to the beginning of 2017, but it's only good for this year and next year because it goes back up to 10% in 2019.
Mm. That's confusing enough.
Yes, it is.
You point out, too, that shareholders seemingly have done fairly well so far just because the stock market has jumped based on optimism about the tax bill.
The market is bidding up prices of stocks and anticipating that there will be a big corporate tax cut. When you go from 35% down to 21%, that's almost a 40% cut. And they're expecting companies will put a lot of that money into dividends. So shareholders are bidding up the price of stocks. And if you have money in an IRA or a 401k that's in the market, it's been going up.
Right. We're speaking with Herb Jackson. He's covering tax reform for USA Today. He's with us from Washington. He's written a piece entitled, How Soon After President Trump Signs the Tax Bill Could You See the Effects? Has the IRS said, hello, what about us?
Yes.
We're being overwhelmed. Can we have more money, please?
Yeah, well, that is the other thing. The IRS has to do a lot of rule writing. And they have to have the staff to do that. Right now, we're in a temporary budget. In fact, the Congress this week probably has to pass another temporary budget that takes us through mid-January. And they can't increase staff until there's a final year-end budget agreement. So that's another question that remains here. Will the IRS get a staff up? And if they don't get it approved until January, how soon can they get those people in here? So there's a lot of like rule writing, especially on the corporate side. The corporate side is changing. You know, it's a seismic shift in the way we change corporate tax corporations.
I think isn't this bill called like the Tax Cut and Job
Tax
Creation
Cuts
Bill?
And Jobs Act.
So,
yes.
So what about on the jobs front?
Well, that's a good question. I talked to a couple of small business owners and accountants for business owners. And said, when are you going to start creating jobs? Because people are saying, you know, if I have this extra money, I want to maybe hire this person or expand my line. And several of them told me, you know, I have to wait to see that the benefit is there before I know when I can make the investment. They were saying second, third quarter of next year is when they might do it. But the economy is throwing off about 200,000 jobs per month right now. The interesting thing is one of the foundations that studied this and is quoted quite often by Republicans, lowered its estimate of how many jobs would result over the next 10 years. Originally, the Tax Foundation said about 995,000 jobs would be created in the coming 10 years. They've now lowered that to 339,000, and that's going to hinder job creation. I mean, 339,000 jobs over 10 years compared to right now, there's 200,000 jobs a month being created. I'm not sure how much of a big job impact we're going to see.
Thanks, Herb. Herb Jackson covering tax reform for USA Today with us from Capitol Hill. Glad you're with us. Federal investigators are trying to determine if the Amtrak engineer operating a train south of Seattle was distracted when it hopped the trails doing 80 miles an hour in a 30 zone on Monday, killing three people and injuring more than 70 others. The National Transportation Safety Board is specifically zeroing in on whether the engineer was distracted by an employee in training, NTSB member Bella Din Zar.
There were two people in the cab, the engineer and a conductor who was getting experience and familiarizing himself with the territory.
13 of the 14 cars derailed in the town of DuPont, with many of them falling off an overpass and onto Interstate 5 below. The unidentified train engineer was said to be bleeding from the head after the derailment, and his eyes were swollen shut, according to radio transmissions from a crew member. In previous transportation disasters, investigators have looked at whether the engineer was distracted or incapacitated. This portion of the program is brought to you by ProFlowers. Hey, are you looking to send something special to someone you won't be able to see during the holidays? Well, you know, a little something more than a card. A bouquet or festive plant from ProFlowers is perfect because it's not the same old traditional gift, and it says so much more. No matter what you choose, our listeners get 20% off of any ProFlowers bouquet or plant of $29 or more. ProFlowers bouquets and plants are guaranteed to stay fresh, and you get to choose the delivery date. To get 20% off all bouquets of $29 or more this holiday season, go to proflowers.com and use my code FIRSTNEWS at checkout. Come on, you're not going to do the gift card thing again, are you? Think outside the box. Proflowers.com. My experience with them, professional gift box, on-time delivery, eye-popping colors, and these flowers and plants last. Again, for 20% off all bouquets of $29 or more, visit proflowers.com and use the code FIRSTNEWS. Not going to be able to spend time with mom this Christmas? There you go. Proflowers.com and use the code FIRSTNEWS. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Bored and jubilant Republicans are on the verge of the most sweeping rewrite of the nation's tax laws in more than three decades. An unpopular bill they insist Americans will learn to love when they see their paychecks in the new year. After midnight, the Senate passed the legislation on a party line 51-48 vote. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I think this is an important accomplishment for the country that people will value and appreciate, but obviously it requires us continuing this discussion with the American people, and we're all going to be doing that.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer had a different take.
What a disgrace. That's what this bill is. It's an absolute disgrace.
The bill now goes back to the House for a revote due to a procedural glitch. At least 12 people were killed, including five Americans, after the bus they were riding in was involved in a crash in Mexico. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert.
We're working with local authorities. Some of our officials from our U.S. embassy, or perhaps it's our mission, are on their way there to better assess the situation and to speak with government officials.
The passengers involved in the crash, who had been traveling on two Royal Caribbean cruise ships, were taking an excursion to visit Mayan ruins. Cardinal Bernard Law, the disgraced former Archbishop of Boston, whose failures to stop child molesters in the priesthood sparked what would become the worst crisis in Catholicism in this country, died today at the age of 86. Law broadly influenced Vatican appointments to U.S. dioceses and helped set priorities for the nation's bishops. But in 2002, the Boston Globe began a series of reports that used church records to reveal that Law had transferred abusive clergy among parish assignments for years without alerting parents or police. The Steelers may have lost a showdown to the Patriots for AFC supremacy on Sunday night, but they're atop the pack when it comes to filling out the Pro Bowl roster. Led by offensive standouts Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, the Steelers had a league-high 8 selections for the Pro Bowls. The Eagles, with the league's best record at 12-2, shared top honors in the NFC with the Saints, each getting 6 selections.
I was a little surprised, were you, that there were no Jets chosen for the...
Yeah, they should have had 9 or 10, probably.
Should have had minus, if that's possible. Thanks, Jen. Hey, fair warning. If you haven't yet addressed your airbag recall, Honda may come knocking on your front door. Honda, historically the largest purchaser of airbags made by Takata, is among the car companies trying to persuade millions of Americans to replace the potentially lethal components. The biggest automotive recall in U.S. history is underway, and automakers are required by regulators and legal settlements to take unprecedented steps to reach customers. Wall Street Journal reporter Adrian Roberts has a look at some of those steps. Adrian, it's just not a priority for us.
Right. So it's amazing. People don't repair their cars. So 30% of cars overall, not related to this Takata airbag recall, but are on the roads without repair. So this is already a challenge for Honda. And, you know, on top of that, this is the biggest recall ever. So they're trying different ways to get people to get their cars repaired.
Wow. Why does Honda seem to care so much right now?
Well, Honda is disproportionately affected by this crisis. So they have the most vehicles on the road that are affected. And I think it's just in their company culture that this is a serious problem. And I should say what can happen if the airbag goes off, it's really gruesome. You know, it explodes, it's shrapnel flying into the car. And they've already had 13 people die because of this, and hundreds of injuries because of this recall. So they're trying their hardest to get to get every person in to fix their car.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal autos reporter Adrienne Roberts. She's written a piece entitled "Car Makers Try to Cajole Consumers into Caring About Airbag Recall." And the most astonishing part of the story is representatives from Honda canvassing neighborhoods, going door to door saying, "Hey, let's get this taken care of. Here's how we can help." So other car makers haven't gone quite this far?
No, I mean, this is, Honda set aside $40 million to do this, so it's really expensive, and they'll admit this can't go on forever. This is not a sustainable way to handle a recall, and I don't know if it's necessarily a practice other automakers can follow. I mean, it certainly is working. Honda's replaced the most airbags out of any automaker, but, you know, other automakers are taking their own measures, like using Facebook messages and texting people. And then Honda has even tried some other ways to get people. They just started doing Facebook, matching the VIN number to a person's Facebook profile. And then when you open your Facebook, if you have one of the affected cars, a video will pop up that says, "Hey, listen, you need to take your car in and get it fixed." So there's a number of different ways they're trying. I don't think anyone's figured out the magic solution here, but I mean, it's a serious problem, and they're trying to find ways to address it.
You know what that's? Thanks, Adrienne. That's Wall Street Journal autos reporter Adrienne Roberts. Hey, reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, @GordonDeal.
Give your employees the power to do their best work and maximize this year's budget when you update to new, powerfully performing Dell Business PCs with Intel Core processors. Dell's dedicated small business advisors mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution for your business. Get up to 35% off select business PCs now until the end of December. Did I mention there's free shipping? Visit Dell.com/smallbusiness or call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter @ThisMorningShow. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. ThisMorning@CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, December 20. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: the Senate passes tax reform and President Trump will soon sign it into law. Investigators focus on driver distraction in the deadly Amtrak derailment. Tour bus in Mexico overturned, carrying cruise ship passengers, at least 12 dead. Politico says the Obama administration dialed back pressure on Hezbollah to appease Iran and pave the way for the Iran nuclear deal, allowing the terror group to become more dangerous. Final night of Hanukkah this eve, and why college sports donors will not like the GOP tax plan. The House GOP leaders are pushing ahead with a risky strategy to avoid a government shutdown at the end of the week, passing a bill that they know is dead on arrival in the Senate. It's a story by Melanie Zanona, staff writer at The Hill. Melanie, what's up here?
Well, right now, House leaders are preparing a package to send to the floor, and it includes a full year of funding for the Defense Department, but it only funds the rest of the government until January 19th, so it's a stopgap bill. And it also currently includes funding for a children's health insurance program that expired in September. They are also planning to attach an $81 billion disaster aid package to help, you know, Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, and even some of the areas affected by wildfires in a way to sort of drum up more support for this bill. And the Senate side, they're taking a different approach. They do not want to include this extra year of military funding. That's something Democrats have said is a non-starter. They also want to include some bipartisan Obamacare fixes, which is also a non-starter in the House side with conservatives. So we're really looking at a showdown and just a few days to spare before the government runs out of money on Friday at midnight.
Wow. Why is it being done this way by the House, where they would have a full year of funding for the military, yet the stopgap itself is only until January 19.
Well, I think it's a couple of things. Number one, this is coming mainly from defense hawks who are really concerned that another CR would be harmful to the military. They've cited the escalating threat with North Korea as a reason why we can't afford to have another stopgap spending bill. But also we've seen just some conservatives really digging in and saying, hey, we're sick of always having to pass these bills with Democratic support. We want to get something out of this. We want to break this cycle. We want to jam the Senate with something and not just put up with whatever they're going to send us. So they're trying to draw a hard line. And about 2 weeks ago, when Speaker Paul Ryan was initially trying to get the votes for the last stopgap bill, he promised that this is what he would push for and that he was going to, you know, put his foot down when he sends something over to the Senate, knowing it's probably not going to be able to pass there.
Wow. All right. So nobody wants the government shut down, but are there some who are willing to have it to get what they want?
Well, it's funny because when you ask people around here, hey, when are you planning on leaving town? Everyone is pretty confident that they will be home in time for Christmas and that there won't be a shutdown. But at the same time, you're seeing a lot of demands that don't seem to stack up to reality. Someone's going to have to cave here eventually. You talk to members of the Freedom Caucus, and they say, we are not going to be putting up with an Obamacare fix, even though they know that's what's going to pass the Senate and what's going to be sent over. And I asked Chairman Mark Meadows, does that mean a shutdown? And he sort of laughed and said, no, you know, we'll try to send something back over. But the reality is there's not that much time to be ping-ponging a bill back and forth. So at some point, one of the leaders, either Mitch McConnell or Paul Ryan, is going to have to cave and accept what the other chamber sends over.
We're speaking with Melanie Zanona, staff writer at The Hill, about her piece entitled House Rolls the Dice in Spending Bill Fight. How long can the fight go on, I guess, before there are accusations, I presume, pointed at Republicans that there's a lack of leadership? I mean, fresh off what will probably be a win legislatively with tax reform.
Well, Gordon, that's actually an interesting point because you're hearing from a ton of Republicans today a lot of concerns that this spending fight could completely overshadow the tax victory. So I actually do think that leaders will get a little bit of wiggle room here because they've showed their conference that they can lead, that they can get this presumably tax bill over the finish line, which we are expecting to happen. So there actually may be some willingness for people to swallow a bill that they might not normally vote for or might normally like, because they trust their leadership and they're going to give them some room here, and B, they don't want the headlines coming out of this week to be all about a government shutdown or an ugly spending fight, inner party fighting within the Republican conference. I think Mark Walker put it best when he said it's like coming out of a hospital, finding out you're cancer-free, and getting hit by a Mack truck. So there is a lot of concern among members that they do not want this to be overshadowing their first and biggest legislative achievement of the year.
I may be naive on this, but it does seem like they could pass something right now with almost anything in it, and it would slide only because the president, I believe, is going to be selling the tax reform law so much that's going to be the news.
Agreed. And there is a lot of goodwill right now that has been built by leadership and with the administration with this tax overhaul. People are feeling good. They're feeling high within the Republican Party, and they're not going to want to spoil that with a spending fight over, you know, versus a military spending bill versus not a military spending bill, or over a disaster aid package that's not offset, which is, you know, a concern normally among conservatives. But I do think they're going to be able to swallow some things that they might not normally swallow.
Thanks, Melanie. Melanie Zanona, staff writer at The Hill. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, as we try our best to navigate social media without saying anything that's going to embarrass us or get us fired, it's good to know that even tech moguls occasionally make mistakes online. That's what happened yesterday to Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk, who committed a bit of a Twitter blunder last night. According to Fortune.com, Musk was apparently trying to get in touch with John Carmack, who was the chief technology officer at Oculus, Facebook's virtual reality project. But instead of sending a private message, Musk tweeted directly at Carmack so his 16.7 million followers could see it. The tweet reportedly read, "Do you have a sec to talk? My cell is..." before listing the phone number. Musk's tweet was quickly deleted, but not before several followers noticed. CNBC rang the number Musk posted and discovered a recorded message from the video game God of War. Odds are, if you haven't heard it yet, you might not have much time, as we'd expect Mr. Musk to change his number sooner rather than later.
That's funny.
Or maybe just leave that one up forever as a decoy, you know, just, right. just get a different one.
Right.
He's obviously got the money to do that.
Imagine when he reaches out to his carrier to do it, though.
Yes.
T-Mobile or AT&T, Verizon.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Mr. Musk, we've been expecting your call.
Yes. Of course, this is a problem, you know, for someone like him with 16.7 million followers. If you and I accidentally did this, it wouldn't be, you know, hardly a sniff, probably.
Oh,
I mean,
is
you,
that right?
I mean, you'd certainly get, you know, your share of texts, I'm sure. let's just put it on me. There'd be hardly a sniff if I did it for my, you know, 800 or so followers.
Well, you could probably delete it quickly enough when Elon Musk tweets.
Yes.
People, you know,
you can't delete it quickly enough.
They screenshot it.
Yes.
You know, not so much with lower forms of life like us.
That is true.
His number, by the way, 867-5309.
There you go. You heard it here first.
For the price of a dime, I can always turn to you.
And it's safe to say, Gordon, that we all love panda bears. Giant pandas are a top tourist draw, and the mere act of pandas giving birth makes international news. But do you love pandas enough to wipe your face with a tissue made from their feces? According to the BBC, that's what the National Panda Reserve in Sichuan Province, China, is betting on, having signed a deal with a paper company to recycle the animal's waste. Newspaper reports say the firm will turn the fiber-rich bamboo waste into what they're calling panda poo tissues. And there's no shortage of the stuff, as adult pandas produce more than 22 pounds of feces a day. There's also 100 pounds a day of food waste that can be recycled as well. Once in the hands of the paper company, the feces and food waste will go through a complex 60-step recycling process, including boiling, pasteurization, and fiber extraction. The material would be made into tissues, paper towels, and toilet paper, and marketed under the Panda Poo brand. A box of tissues will be sold for around $6.50. There you go. Last minute Christmas gift right there. Only $6.50.
You just sometimes leave me speechless with these stories. I don't even know what to say.
Makes the perfect stocking stuffer.
You know what strikes me sometimes, though, about the stories like this?
Yes.
Like, who thought of this? Who thought, like in a zoo, for example,
yes,
to say, hey Joe, pass me some of that panda crap. I got an idea. Right? Where does this come from?
All that fiber, all that bamboo.
All that bamboo.
Going to waste. Right. Going to waste.
Yeah, literally. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday. To get season tickets to watch most Division I sports powerhouses play football and basketball, you have to give a mandatory donation in addition to paying for the tickets. These donations are among the over $1 billion a year that people donate to college sports departments. But did you know that individuals can currently deduct 80% of that donation? MarketWatch, though, says that may be ending. The new Republican tax bill, expected to become law this week, ends the Booster Club deduction. It's expected to bring the U.S. government $200 million a year. Booster donations for season tickets can be pricey. For example, it can cost you as much as $30,000 at North Carolina State. The school's website even touts the 80% tax deduction right next to the big fee. It made its way into the tax plan despite the wishes of Lindsey Graham, a Republican senator from South Carolina, where the current national football champions Clemson play their home games. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, it's a once-in-a-generation opportunity to fix a tax code that stifles business investment, keeps trillions in corporate profits languishing overseas, and slows the economy. So argue Republicans in Congress who are hailing their tax overhaul as an economic tonic that will deliver benefits to ordinary Americans well into the future, Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas.
So we weren't willing to settle for the status quo because we believe that America can do better. And thanks to this important historic piece of legislation, I think all of the incentives and the pieces are in place for the American economy to take off.
Democrats like Jeff Merkley of Oregon and most nonpartisan analysts see things rather differently.
This is a diabolical bill. This is an abomination.
The Senate passed the tax bill early this morning. It now goes back to the House for a revote on a procedural matter. Federal investigators probing a deadly Amtrak derailment are trying to determine why the train was traveling at more than double the posted speed limit as it entered the curve where it left the tracks. Amtrak President Richard Anderson says investigators are examining the effect of positive train control, which automatically slows a train if it's going too fast.
It's not clear yet from the NTSB whether PTC would have prevented the accident or not.
Early details from the probe indicate a conductor in training was in the cab with the engineer at the time of the derailment. Five lawsuits against the Trump administration's decision to end a program protecting some young immigrants from deportation face a key federal court hearing in San Francisco that could put an early end to the legal challenges or give them a big boost. The district judge will hear arguments today to determine whether to block President Trump from rescinding the Obama-era DACA program while the lawsuits by California and other plaintiffs play out in court. Yes, your vote really does count. Shelley Simons has won a seat in the Virginia House of Delegates by a single vote, 11,608 to 11,607. The final tally came after a roller coaster recount. Her victory creates a 50-50 tie between Democrats and Republicans.
Wow. Normally you see that like these teeny tiny towns,
yes,
right, where
like,
15
yes.
people show up to vote, right?
Exactly.
Not when there's 23,000 people showed up.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
One vote.
Thanks, Jen. Cool story out of Michigan about a group of generous guys who plan to make an admission each year to surprise a needy restaurant server with a giant tip. CBS News says Mike Alexander handed over an envelope with $1,000 in cash inside to a waitress at Theo and Stacy's restaurant in Kalamazoo. The recipient, Mary Lively, was so overwhelmed she could hardly breathe. Delivering a $1,000 tip to one deserving restaurant server was the brainchild of one of Mr. Alexander's friends, a California guy. Mr. Alexander called nine friends. They were all in. They picked Theo and Stacy's restaurant as the place to hand it out because the owners have a reputation for being charitable-minded. Like most people, Ms. Lively is struggling a bit this time of year. She said she'll use the money to pay her next car payment and buy presents for her family. As for Mr. Alexander, he plans to do the same thing every year and hopes others will follow. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.